This month, we've been set aside some time to talk about the distinctiveness of Paul's ministry. And today I would like to do that. And the message is called Without Paul. So the first thing I'd like to do is talk a little bit about the Paul's authority. And then I would like to get into looking at some verses that would help us understand, how should I say this, what we have in Christ. And without Paul, we would not know that. Let's just jump right into it. Let's turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, or you can just look up here on the board. So, I've got a fellow at work that I'm talking to. You may have the same situation now or sometime in the future. And this fellow at work, he happens to be a plant security guard. He stops me at the guard and says, he knows I read the Bible. He knows I'm a student. He always asks me questions. And he says, Jerry said, I've been studying. He said, trying to figure out what God wants me to be. I thought about it for a couple of days. And I came back and I said, well, Jeff, I said, I think God wants you to be a plant protection officer. And we had some discussion and trying to get him to understand what the will of God is, that all men be saved in it. You can be right in the center of God's will, whether it's being an engineer or a plant protection officer or other. So, anyhow, in approaching people like this, I think it's important that we understand and establish that Paul is our apostle, that Paul is our pattern, get them to understand that. Because if a person is serious about their Bible study, I think it's important that we make them understand who Paul is and what the importance of the Apostle Paul is. Certainly, someone who's going to open the Bible, they're going to want to go to the teachings of Jesus Christ, which is important. But today, it's essential we understand that Paul is our apostle. What's all this fuss about Paul? Paul, Paul, Paul. I'm sure people get sick and tired of hearing that, but if you read your Bible, it's important to understand that Paul is our apostle. So, I guess that's one way around to say that it's important to understand who Paul is to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. So what I wanted to do with this fire is lay down some foundation. Paul writes and says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Turn a few pages to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. this fellow at work was, he wanted to know what God wanted of him, what he wanted. I said, so it's important that we, he understands that Paul is our apostle for today. Romans chapter 16. Sorry, Romans chapter 11. Paul writes, he says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. verse 11. "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Paul writes, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Philippians chapter 3, while we're there, look at verse 17. He says, "Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." Paul seems to be emphasizing himself and almost boasting. Me. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says in verse 15, "This is a faithful saying worthy of our acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." So he says, in me first. Big deal. Paul is a pattern. Paul is a pattern. Look in verse 11. "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." All throughout Scripture, the main emphasis. The gospel is his gospel. It was me. Not that he's boasting of himself, but be followers together, me even as I am also of Christ. Turn over to Second Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11. He says, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." And while we're in this chapter, look down in chapter 2, Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Paul says something very peculiar, he says, almost sounds arrogant and boastful. He says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Then in verse 8, this has troubled me for some time, but he says in verse 8, right after he says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things," he says, "Remember." that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. I had to think about that. Is that true? What if we didn't have Paul? When we understand that Jesus Christ died and was buried and resurrected the third day without Paul's gospel? I think you could probably go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, see that Christ died on the cross and then was buried and he rose again. So this verse still troubles me a little bit, but I think that without Paul, we would not understand why. I don't think we would understand the distinctiveness of what he accomplished on the cross of Calvary for us, for Gentiles, for precisely what the blood of Christ shed on the cross. It says, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Was Paul saying that Paul states this verse almost like he's exclusive here in giving us this information. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Is it that he's exclusive in giving us this information? Or is it just, oh, by the way, according to my gospel, Jesus Christ also was raised from the dead? So I would like to study this more, but I believe that you don't really find out in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the why. And I think that Paul gives us the why. So, just from those few verses, I think Paul establishes his apostleship, and I think it's very important that we understand, and primarily when we're talking to other people, establish that fact in Paul's position as our apostle. I think it's very important because to some, Paul's epistles are, I think they'd rather take heed to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What would Jesus say? What would Jesus say? Instead of what Paul said. We understand that we're following Paul as Paul followed Christ. So, I just wanted to look at those few verses to establish Paul's authority in the Scripture. Now, what I'd like to do now is look down through some things. Let's think about this month we're talking about the distinctiveness of Paul's ministry. And so we've studied many things. This may come across as a review for some, but what I would like to do is talk a little bit about what we would not have if we didn't have the Apostle Paul. So we oftentimes talk about what we have in Christ and what we have because of the Apostle Paul in his ministry, what we understand. I'd just like to look at it in a little bit different light. Again, the title of the message is Without Paul. Without Paul, we would not understand some things. If we didn't have, let's go there for a few minutes. If we didn't have the Apostle Paul, we wouldn't understand the grace of God. Without the Apostle Paul, we wouldn't understand we have the peace of God. Peace with God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We're not an enmity anymore. We're not enemies of the cross of Christ. But we were, especially as Gentiles, we were afar off. We're just, it says here, we have peace with God. If we didn't have Romans 2 finally, we wouldn't understand these things. Romans chapter, let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. I said, we wouldn't understand the grace of God. We wouldn't understand what the grace of God even was without Paul. It says here in verse 9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen and they unto the circumcision. There's an account that's also talked about back in Acts chapter 15. Paul was given some grace, the grace of God, and he introduced it. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. We read that verse. We wouldn't understand the grace of God. We wouldn't have Ephesians chapter 2. Turn with me real quick. Familiar verses. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Familiar passage. We would not even understand God's grace without Paul. We wouldn't understand that we're justified. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, he says, but God commendeth his love towards us, that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Without Paul, we would not understand the difference between law and grace. Turn over just one page, Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law, but under grace. We would not know this without Paul. We would not know what happened to the nation of Israel. Flip over to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I say then, hath God cast all his people? God forbid, for I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. What's it talking about? Here in Romans chapter 11, well, I'm not going to get into this, but it talks about the wild olive tree, which is a representation of Israel. And that, how they were blinded. You see that back in Acts chapter 13, the symbolic blinding by Jesus. The nation of Israel was blinded. So without Paul, we would not understand God's program for today, what he did with the nation of Israel, how he blinded them, and how that he broke off the natural branch and grafted. I said we would not understand these things without the Apostle Paul. We would not understand what the mystery was all about. What What's this mystery she's talking about? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2 and look at verse 7. Verse 6 says, howbeit we should speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world in our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Says we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. This whole, without Paul, we would not understand that this present dispensation was a mystery. It was not prophesied, it was not foretold until the Apostle Paul came along and revealed this mystery. First Corinthians, turn back page or two to Romans chapter 16, where we're all familiar with this verse. Romans 16:25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Here, this mystery I talked about again, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Talk about this mystery, revelation of mystery. By the way, if you didn't notice, this verse is on the wall in our foyer, Romans 16:25. Talks about the revelation of mystery. Paul says, my gospel. We wouldn't have these things without Paul. We would not understand that the Gentiles could be saved without the Jew, without being a proselyte. Without Paul, we would not know that. Without Paul, we would not know that we have in Christ. We're joint heirs. We're heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Look at verse Romans chapter 8. Verse 32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So, without Paul, we would not know these things. We would not know that we were crucified with Christ, that the body of sin was destroyed. Romans chapter 6. Without Paul, we would know this. We would know the book of Romans. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. I can't tell you how many churches I've been in. You know, it's special when we live down south. Preach the guilt about sin. What a tremendous relief it is to understand this doctrine rightly divided, that our sin is just, the body of sin is destroyed, that Christ paid for. We wouldn't have that without Paul. We'd still be guilty. Look in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. we would not, without Paul, we would not understand that we, when Christ died on the cross, we were placed there with him. That we were crucified with him. It's harder to understand to begin with, but we would have no clue that, of our position with Christ. We would not understand, without Paul, we would not understand that we're identified with his death, burial, and resurrection. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, he says in verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" We could also use the word identified. If you're baptized, you're fully submersed. You're identified. It says in verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." We're identified with his death, burial, and resurrection. We wouldn't know that without Romans 6. We would not know that we're freed from the law of sin and death. Look down at verse 18. It says, "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Flip over a page to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Verse 2, just wonderful. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." What's this law of sin and death? What is that law? It's easy, just Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You look at Romans 8:2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Without Paul, we would not know these things. Without Paul, we would not understand that we're a new creature. We would not understand that we have an old man and a new man. We would not know the difference. We wouldn't know any better. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new." We would know anything about the new creature. We would not know that we're sealed. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. In one hand is Ephesians chapter 1, the other. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Ephesians 4, verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." If we didn't have Ephesians, we wouldn't know that. We're looking at a lot of these things we take for granted. Without Paul, we would not understand. We start to realize what all we have because of the Apostle Paul. Things we take for granted every day. We would not understand without Paul that God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Romans chapter 8. "That is chapter 8, Jesus, for you have not false witnesses, Christ's witness, first come to the world and over 1 Corinthians 8. So yes, this is their perverseness, but they fail not stand the way of the cross. Under Paul's words, judgment. We will not be under judgment day. We will not be under judgment day at Numbers, when the 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says here, 13. Every man who wins war shall be cursed, for the day shall come. What day? Talking about the day of the Lord. Talking about that day. Scripture, they shall declare because he will be a banner, and the flesh shall try every miracle. What sort is? If any man will burn, he shall suffer loss from himself by fire. Which we would have no clue about Paul. We do not understand what we could, what the fuck we talk about that. Verse is on the 19th of August. He says, I shall defy but shall find Jesus. Yeah, without Paul, we would not understand to us. What charity? 7. Verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And he tells us what we can expect in verse 7. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Referred to as the love chapter. Really talks about charity and what charity is. Verse 13 of the chapter says, now about the faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Without the Apostle Paul, we really wouldn't understand the order of things in the universe. The structure that he's laid out. Turn to with me to 1 Corinthians 15. Look in verse 24. Out there in the future, we're talking about the future structure. Sorry. I had another verse in mind, and I don't have it here. Anyway, in this chapter, this is the resurrection chapter. Paul says, then cometh the end. It's talking about resurrection, verse 23, but every man in his own order. The order of resurrection, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even to Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. When he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. When he hath put all things under his feet. When he saith all things are put under him. It is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. Verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, and put all things under him, that God may be all in all. It's a little bit wordy, it's a little bit confusing, but talk about the relationship of God, Jesus Christ, and God the Father, and how that out in the end, Jesus Christ is going to take a submissive role to God the Father, that all things, that all may be all in all, it says. Without the Apostle Paul, we would have no clue what the hierarchy is in the universe. Without the Apostle Paul, we have no idea that we are complete in him. Colossians 2:10 says we're complete in him. we would have no, without Paul, we would have no idea that he was the one who completed the Word of God. First Corinthians chapter 13. So that's a bad reference. Without the Apostle Paul, we would have no idea that we will have a glorified body. Philippians chapter 3 talks about that. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, he says, "Who shall change our vile body that may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the work whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself?" We're not going to go there, but first Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 38 through 49. It also tells us about what kind of bodies there are. Bodies, terrestrial bodies, celestial. It talks about the glory that they both have. We're without Paul, we would not understand anything about our glorified body. Not Paul, we're true and understand what we have, and we have eternal life. Without Paul, we would not understand that we're changed. That when we're saved, we're changed into the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 tells us this. He says, "But we are with open face beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." You look in the glass, if you're standing in your bathroom and looking in the mirror, you're looking into a glass. It says we're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Without the Apostle Paul, we would not know that we have the image of Christ. Without the Apostle Paul, we wouldn't know that we're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. We're not going to turn over 2 Corinthians chapter 5:20. Says now that you are ambassadors for Christ. Now Paul would not know that we have liberty, Galatians 5:1. And then Romans 8:2. Without the Apostle Paul, we would not know anything about circumcision, the spirit. We would not know anything about the operation of God, what that is, that spiritual circumcision. We would not know anything without Paul. We would not know anything about the promise that was through Abraham also applies to us. Jesus Christ was he was a Jew of the lineage of Abraham. The promise was made to Abraham in his flesh, which included Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 4 tells us Abraham is our father. In that name, we belong to Jesus Christ. Therefore, we also claim the promise that was made to Abraham for us. Without the Apostle Paul, we would not know this. Without the Without the Apostle Paul, we would not even understand that we're living in the dispensation of grace. Don't have to turn there, but Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2 talks about the dispensation of grace. We would not understand the difference between the dispensation of the grace and dispensation of fullness of times, for example, which is talked about in Ephesians chapter 1:10. Without the Apostle Paul, we would not know that we're seated in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. We would not know anything about the middle wall of partition that Paul talks about, how that divides us from the Jew, from the nation of Israel. Without the Apostle Paul, we would not really have any clue about God's program and His plan, and the eternal purpose that He purposed in Jesus Christ. Just turn it. It's a favor to mine. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 9. He said, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Talk about that mystery program again. Verse 10 tells us more. He says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places may be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Verse 11, he tells us that he identifies that little fact as the eternal purpose. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, there was a hidden program kept hidden since the beginning of the world. It was a mystery. And we have a great part in that mystery. It was his eternal purpose that he had hid in Christ Jesus our Lord. That now, right now, by the church, he would make known of the principalities and powers that are out there in the heavenly places just how wise he is, the manifold wisdom of God. Without the Apostle Paul, we would not understand anything about that. And that to me is awesome. Without the Apostle Paul, we would not know anything about our enemy, or how he's equipped us. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the whole armor of God and the battle that we're prepared for. We don't have to read that. We're all familiar with the armor of God. Without Paul, we would not understand. Without him, we would not understand. We'd not know how to pray or what to expect. We would not know what God's will is for us today. We would not know how to walk in Christ. We would not know anything about the structure for the local assembly. Paul establishes that, Timothy, for us. We would not know anything about what's going to happen to the church at the end times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 talks about that. We're not to go into that. We're familiar. These are the things that without the Apostle Paul, we would just simply not know. We would not know that we're forgiven. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13 is where we're going. It says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened, he made alive, and he quickened together with him having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting writing of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. We're forgiven. It's in Paul's epistles. We would not have any idea. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, he says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, this just went down through just a simple list, and you could probably add more things that you thought of over the past 45 minutes. These are just simple things that doctrines we take for granted every day, we understand. But without the Apostle Paul, we would not know these things. I think just going through this list, it helps us, we're a refresher, to help us understand why the Apostle Paul is so important, his distinct ministry to the Gentiles. That's all I have this morning. Talk about the distinctive ministry of the Apostle Paul. I hope looking at this gives you appreciation for what we have in Christ through the Apostle Paul. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the Apostle Paul, the distinctiveness of his ministry. Just pray as we go our ways this week, we can be ambassadors for you. Share the message of Christ with others. In your name we pray, amen.